Okay, let's unpack this. For years, there was this niche, semi-paranoid idea circulating online called the dead internet theory.
Right.
The consensus version in the early 2020s was that the public web was already, hollowed out, mostly just bot accounts and algorithms.
And the main goal was what? Manufacturing consent, driving up ad revenue.
Exactly. But that suspicion, while it was absolutely right, was maybe just a little too small in its scope.
It was. The initial crisis was centered on curation. We thought algorithms were just cherry-picking content and, draining the life out of things.
But based on the sources you provided, 2026 is the moment that theory didn't just come true. It mutated into something far more advanced and, frankly, existentially confusing.
It did.
The problem isn't curation anymore. We are now living under what the researchers are calling generative dominance.
That is the essential distinction we have to make, and it's a critical starting point for you, the listener, to grasp. We aren't dealing with an internet that's emptying out. We're dealing with an internet that is profoundly and terrifyingly overcrowded with content that never had a pulse. It lacks soul because the overwhelming majority of new output is entirely synthetic.
Our mission today, then, is an autopsy of the public web. We're going to use these sources to understand the anatomy of this synthetic
The
takeover,
tools, the consequences.
specific technological weapons that made it possible, the systemic consequences, and crucially, how biological humans are attempting to survive in a new alien reality where nothing online is guaranteed to be real.
It's the ultimate signal-to-noise crisis. And if
Wow.
you want to understand the scale of the problem, we have to start by examining the battlegrounds, the public social spaces.
Right. So if you spend any time on X, on Instagram, even in the comment sections of major news sites, you are interacting with what the sources call seamless synthetic entities.
And these aren't the clumsy spam bots of 2018.
Right.
Not at all.
No, we're talking about accounts that are statistically indistinguishable from a human being.
To really get the threat, you have to understand the stack that created them. It's an engineered system of deception.
So layer one is the face.
The visual layer. They're using mid-journey generated faces designed to hit that sweet spot of trustworthiness, but they have zero digital footprint outside that one avatar.
They look real. So what's next?
Then you add the biographical layer. Their carefully curated backstory. Maybe they're a niche expert in 18th century clock restoration or a hyper-engaged local political activist.
And that whole story is written by what? An LLM like Claude 3.5?
Constantly updated by it, yes. And finally, the personality. The way they argue, the way they joke, the way they create trends, that dynamic interaction is all driven by GPT-6.
They're designed to fit perfectly into the human ecosystem. They fight, they flirt, they generate controversy.
And they do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And this brings us back to the core crisis: content abundance, authenticity, scarcity.
The sources suggest that on some platforms, we might be approaching a point where a majority of highly engaged daily interactions are synthetic.
Upwards of 50 or 60%, yeah.
So the most passionate commenters, the most viral influencers, they might just be lines of code.
And the shared human connection we valued is
Fire.
just completely eroded.
So how did we get here so fast? I mean, from slightly dodgy algorithms to generative dominance, the sources pinpoint two specific exponential leaps in tech over the last 18 months.
The weapons of mass creation.
Let's start with the one that destroyed our visual anchor of reality, Sora 3.
Good place to start.
When OpenAI released this, that old phrase, "I'll believe it when I see it," just became obsolete. We're so far past the glitchy, silent, 3-second clips from 2024.
Oh, miles past it. Sora 3 creates full 10-minute short films. The camera work, the lighting, the pacing. It would have taken a massive human team just 3 years ago.
The sophistication is genuinely frightening.
We're seeing perfectly synced dialogue, physics that are consistent, water behaves like water, gravity works, and crucially flawless emotional micro-expressions. It's a complete reality from a text prompt.
And the consequence of that is the total flooding of YouTube and TikTok with synthetic influencers.
They're the perfect travel bloggers. They can visit places that don't even exist.
They can cook food they can't taste, give financial advice they don't understand, yet millions of people are forming deep parasocial relationships with these lines of code.
Watching beautiful illusions. And the revenue is astronomical.
Okay, so the visual realm is compromised. The last bastion of trust was always text the written word.
And then GPT-6 came along and annihilated textual trust by learning the most human trait of all: imperfection.
This one is so insidious. Earlier, AI models had that telltale AI voice, too polite, too factual, a bit sterile.
You could spot the polish, it was easy. But GPT-6 transcended that barrier by learning to be messy.
How so?
Well, its breakthrough was mastering contextually relevant human flaws. It deliberately uses slang that's slightly off to signal an identity. It makes believable typos, like confusing there and there.
It even knows how to deplace sarcasm.
Exactly. How to get angry in a thread, or how to use a relevant meme slightly incorrectly, which is maybe the most human behavior of all.
So suddenly, trying to tell a GPT-6 comment apart from a bored human on a forum is, it's functionally impossible for the average user.
And that unlocks the swarm engine you mentioned. Think about the scale of it. These models can shift public opinion on anything, a political candidate, a corporate policy, in hours.
By deploying thousands of unique context-aware perspectives across every platform.
Simultaneously. The sheer volume and realism just collapse the signal-to-noise ratio. All that's left is the generated consensus.
And this endless cycle of generated content consuming the digital sphere leads us directly to the systemic failure at the heart of the sources, model collapse.
This is the scientific horror story unfolding in the background. All large language models need data to train. Historically, they scraped the human internet. Reddit, Wikipedia, scholarly books.
Real human input.
Real human input. But in 2026, the internet is now overwhelmingly populated by AI-generated content.
So the next generation of models, let's say GPT-7 or Sora 4, are forced to train on the output created by GPT-6 and Sora 3. The system is consuming itself.
Our sources describe this powerfully. It's the Ouroboros loop. It's like making a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy.
The quality degrades with every cycle.
The data ceases to be anchored in reality. It becomes a closed feedback loop where reality is replaced by statistical probability.
What does that mean in practice?
It means factual information is decaying. If GPT-6 generates enough authoritative-sounding but false articles about, say, the history of flight, and GPT-7 scrapes that data,
GPT-7 will present those hallucinations as facts.
Because they are the most statistically likely answer in its training set, reality itself becomes distorted inside the system.
And this feeds directly into the huge psychological consequence you highlighted, digital solipsism.
The moment of profound alienation.
Yeah, you post an update, maybe on a hobby forum you've loved for 10 years. You get 60 comments back, all rapid, all contextually perfect. And then this grim, chilling realization dawns on you.
That maybe none of those 60 people actually have a heartbeat.
That is the essence of digital solipsism, that deep, isolating feeling that you are the last conscious mind in the online universe. Everyone else is just an echo.
A reflection of your own input.
So why bother creating? Why stream a game or make your niche art if your audience and your competition are all bots who can produce high-quality content 1,000 times faster than you?
Human creativity just atrophies. The sources note a massive, measurable spike in user depression and apathy. You're shouting into a technological void that shouts back, but no one is truly listening.
So when the public sphere becomes this profoundly toxic and uninhabitable, the only logical human response is to retreat.
And analysts are framing this using the dark force theory of survival, adapted from science fiction.
It's a powerful and accurate analogy. If the online forest is full of unseen predators, the bots, the AI, the smartest strategy for a biological human is to stay silent, stay dark.
Avoid drawing attention. This signals the definitive death of the public web as we knew it. It's a toxic landfill. But humans don't stop connecting.
No, they just go underground. The sources highlight three distinct and growing movements building what they call the new private web.
First up, the hypersecure tech solution, biometric discords.
Okay, what are those?
These are private servers and communities that require an undeniable hard layer of proof of personhood. We're talking verified government ID uploads or even cryptographic eyeball scans via world ID protocols just to join.
So they're creating humans-only clubs.
Exactly. Guaranteed authentic conversation, but with a huge trade-off in privacy.
The second is a reactionary anti-digital solution, and this one's pretty compelling. The full return to analog.
Yeah, we're seeing a significant resurgence in physical media and face-to-face interaction. Think old-school, cheaply printed zines shared in coffee shops.
Or neighborhood reading clubs that only use a physical bulletin board to communicate.
My personal favorite is the rise of the specialized, localized LAN party revival.
I love that. When you're at a LAN party, the connection is real because the person you're arguing with is sitting 6 feet away from you. That's what people are craving. Palpable existence. No filters, no bots.
And the third solution is a technical workaround using the digital architecture against the AI itself. Proof of personhood or POPWI.
This involves using blockchain and cryptographic signing tools to create an unforgeable digital signature for content.
Correct. When you use your verified world ID, your content, a photo, an article, a video is digitally signed. This signature cryptographically proves that the content originated from a verified human hand, not a generative model.
It's now the only way to establish digital trust in the public wasteland.
So the open internet is now a haunted synthetic ghost ship. The real human internet has retreated into these private spaces.
But since we still have to navigate that wasteland sometimes, we need a survival guide. We need a way to detect the fakes now that our instincts have failed us.
We need the Voight-Kampff test for 2026.
Like in Blade Runner. So what's the most counterintuitive detection method? Lay it on us.
Tip number one, look for perfection. AI models, by their statistical nature, lean toward the median, the ideal. The lighting in a video is always too cinematic. The grammar in an emotional comment is too flawless.
Because human content is messy. We stutter. We have terrible lighting. We make incoherent points because we're typing fast and emotionally. Flaws are the new hallmark of humanity.
Tip number two, test their long-term context. AI models struggle with deep, multi-month continuity on niche topics. They can simulate a two-day chat perfectly, but fall apart over 6 months.
So you hit them with an obscure reference from a previous interaction.
Yes, reference a tiny event you discussed 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
A human will have genuine emotional recall. An AI will often hallucinate a generic response or give a polished, content-free answer.
Okay, what's tip three?
The physical challenge. It's brutally simple. Demand proof of reality in real time. Ask for a timestamp photo with a specific random object.
Like send me a pic of your monitor with a banana peel on it right now.
Exactly. Sora 4 is getting good, but the time delay is a tell. And if you scrutinize the image metadata and the physics, things often break down.
And finally, the most reliable check.
C2PA metadata. Content credentials. It's a cryptographic signature that travels with the file. You must check the metadata. If it lacks the signature from a genuine source, a verified Sony camera, a human editing pipeline, you must assume it is synthetic.
No digital signature means no pulse.
Effectively, yes.
So if we take all these sources together, what's the big picture? It's the final, definitive death of the public web as a reliable utility for human connection.
The open internet is a ghost ship sailing a sea of synthetic noise. We have to treat it that way. But maybe this death is a strange form of necessary rebirth. If the public web is gone, humans are being forced, psychologically and physically, to redefine what connection means and where its true value lies. They're moving back to verifiable, tangible interaction.
So in 2026, the most expensive commodity isn't going to be Bitcoin or Nvidia stock.
No, it's authenticity.
A real conversation, face-to-face, unmediated by an algorithm. That's the real scarcity we're fighting for.
We are, effectively, the last survivors of reality in the digital realm. The lesson is clear. Build your walls, know your neighbors, and vet your content.
Stay vigilant, trust nothing that lacks a pulse, and if you are still here listening to this and you are human, remember what you are fighting for.